So I say this to the militias and all others who believe that the greatest threat to freedom comes from the government instead of from those who would take away our freedom. If you say the government is in a conspiracy to take your freedom away, there is no freedom.
They'll never take our freedom!
Freedom?
Hello everyone and welcome to Freedom Rings. This is Tommy Freedom broadcasting to you loud and clear on the TFR radio network from a cabin high atop a mountain ridge somewhere in Appalachia. I'll be your voice of reason for the next 30 minutes, so keep it right here. Folks, and welcome back to Freedom Rings. This has been kind of a difficult past few weeks for me because, you know, if you listened to the show last week, you know that I lost my foster mom. And then, of course, this past weekend was Father's Day. And if you have been listening to the show for a while, you know that I did lose a son who would be 8 years old if he were still around. So it's a very difficult time for me. Not only, you know, everybody wishing me a happy Father's Day because of my age, and now losing my foster mom on top of that, it's just everything is kind of combined into one. Of course, you know, I told you my dad has been diagnosed with cancer, and it's inoperable. So I'm living on borrowed time with him. So this is a very difficult time for me. But a couple of things happened over the past week that we just need to talk about. And they both involve firearms. They both involve firearms used for bad and firearms used for good. And of course, I'm talking to you about the incident that happened in Alexandria, Virginia, with the baseball team, as well as the prison escape in Georgia. Now, in both of these instances, a firearm was used initially to create carnage. In the case of the prison escape, these two peckerheads somehow got up to the front of the bus and disarmed the driver, as well as his backup. Somehow, they got a gun from one of the two and used it, and then got the gun from the other one, and they became armed and dangerous. They murdered these two guys and then went on the lam. They were eventually caught, and I'll talk about that a little bit later because this deals along the lines of things I've discussed with you before about the armed citizenry. I'm going to start right now with this. These two guys killed these prison guards. I'm not sure exactly if they were prison guards or exactly who or what they were, but there were two of them. They were on the bus and they were armed. And these two felons, they were looking a long time, you know, probably 20, 30 years life in prison. I don't remember exactly, but they somehow got from the back of the bus up to the front, got one of the guards' guns, and both of the guards ended up being shot dead. And these two guys went on the run. They carjacked some people. They got an F-250. It was white because I wrote the license tag down in case I happened to see it. And they ditched that, and after a few days on the run, they were accosted and engaged in a high-speed chase along Interstate 40 And just outside of Shelbyville, Tennessee, which is just outside of Nashville, they crashed. And in the crash, they somehow lost their firearms, and they bailed. They ran into the woods. And then they did something very stupid. They tried to carjack a guy without any guns. And the problem was that the alleged victim here was armed. And he drew down on them, and he held them at gunpoint, and then he called for his neighbor. His neighbor came over, and his neighbor then called 911, and that was the end of that. So, a firearm was used in the wrong way for these two to escape, but in the end, a firearm owned by a private citizen brought these two guys down, and they are now back in the penal system. That is why it is so important, folks, for us to be able to keep and bear arms. So often it is thrown back on the whole thing about hunting, and no, that's not what it's about. The whole purpose of the right to keep and bear arms is, yes, to put food on your table, but it is also to protect yourself. Because when this nation was established, we did not have a constabulary. There were marshals, there were constables here and there, but for the most part, it was the citizenry that upheld the law. They brought these people in. They hunted them down. They brought them in to the marshal, the sheriff, the constable, whoever it was that had jurisdiction, and then they were formally charged. But the whole purpose of the Second Amendment is for the general populace to be armed to protect itself against people like this, as well as an oppressive government. And I have discussed this time and time again. And this is yet just another example of how an armed citizen saved the day. Now, the other thing I want to talk to you about, again, dealing with guns used to kill people and then guns used to save someone else, is, of course, that big story that came out of Alexandria, Virginia last week. And this was, of course, as you are very well aware, that there was a baseball game, which I actually did not know these things happened every year, that there was a baseball game between the Democrats and Republicans in Congress. And, of course, someone came in looking to kill Republicans, opened up with a semi-automatic weapon. I've heard different stories on this. Some people say it was an AK clone. Some say it was an SKS. Someone else said it was an M4. I haven't really looked into it to see what it was. But anyway, it was a high-capacity, semi-automatic, military-style weapon. This guy had apparently been training for quite some time to learn how to use this, how to shoot on the run. And despite firing like 40 or 50 shots, still wasn't able to kill anyone. He was, however, killed himself. Now, what this is doing is this is tying into something that I have talked about before. And that is that the left and the right are growing more and more, I guess you could say, radicalized in their thinkings. Now, both the Democrats and the Republicans, for the most part, have become centrists. They're neither one nor the other. They're so moderate that they're almost identical. And I think what you're going to start to see over the next few years is both the Democrats and the Republicans, the moderates, coming together as one party. There was years and years ago, I don't remember if it was the 1700s or 1800s, one of the presidents was actually a Democrat-Republican. And I think you're going to see that happen again. It's going to go back to that. And then you're going to have the progressives on the left, which will probably be named the Progressive Party, and the alt-right on the conservative side, the ultra-conservatives, which, who knows what they'll be called, alternatives, who knows. But you're going to have the hardcore leftists versus the hardcore rights, and then you're going to have the middle grounders. And I don't believe that our next civil war will be a race war. 20 years ago, that's what I would have told you. It was going to be a war between the blacks and the whites. I don't think so anymore. I think the next war is going to be between the far left and the far right. And when it's over and done with, the new nation that emerges will be completely transformed from what we have. It will either be an ultra-socialist country, just like Canada or Britain, or it will be an extreme right country that goes back to the roots the way our founding fathers intended. But what happened at this game, I think, is indicative of what you're going to start seeing more and more of. I think Dylann Roof inadvertently did this. He started it. His intention was to start a race war. I don't think that's going to happen, but I do think that he will have triggered, oh, I don't even know what you call it, a socio war? I don't know, a political war of some sorts. And you're going to start seeing armed conflicts between leftists and people on the right, much as we see gang warfare, turf wars fought in places like LA or New York or Chicago. You're going to start to see groups of armed individuals come in and start opening up on the opposing party, and it will lead to a full-blown war. It's inevitable, and I foresee that happening within the next 5 years. Now, it doesn't mean I'm advocating it. I'm just saying that this is what I see happening in our political future. The first Civil War was fought North versus South. Our next Civil War will be fought East versus West, or Left versus Right. Either way, the first war was fought top and bottom. This one's going to be fought sideways between the hardcore leftists and those on the right. And I don't think it's going to get any better, folks. It's not going to change. Our youth, the millennials, have been so brainwashed in our institutionalized learning facilities that they believe all this green crap that's being forced down their throat. They believe that we are the enemy. Much like radical Islamists, they're being taught that we are the enemy and that we are to be destroyed. And in fact, when this idiot opened up at this baseball practice, I'm trying to think, his name was, help me out, George, what was it, Jim Hodgkinson? Hodgkin's disease, something like that. Anyway, when this Hodgkin's disease guy opened up, there were people on social media that were clearly praising him, calling him a national hero. This is what we're contending with, folks. This is about to be an all-out war between them versus us. This is going to be a political crusade. Much as the original crusades were fought between Christians and Muslims, and we're seeing the new crusade forming in Europe, and now it's starting here in the United States too, with these attacks by radical Islamists against Christians and other infidels and non-believers. And eventually the tide is going to change there as well. And in fact, just the other day, there was another attack in London, but this time it was a van driven by a big old white dude who mowed down a bunch of Muslims who had just left a mosque. And amazingly, there's no backlash against this on social media. I wonder why. Because it's about time that people start fighting back. When we fight back, this is self-defense. They started it, but you bet your ass we're going to finish it. People are sick and tired of standing by and being pushed around and having the socialist agendas forced down our throats, be they political, be they religious. We're tired of these attacks against Christians by Muslims. We're tired of these attacks by left-wing socialists and communists. And it's about time that people have stood up and started fighting back. I, for one, I'm glad to have seen this attack in London myself. It's about damn time. You can only push the people so far before they start to push back. And that's what we're seeing now. Now, had Hillary Clinton been elected, I don't know that you would be seeing this kind of a pushback yet. But with Donald Trump having been elected into office, people are no longer afraid to speak their feelings, to speak their mind, and to act out the way we should have a long time ago. You see, the left-wingers, they expect everyone to cower in the corner. They're expecting Trump to cower in the corner the same way that Bush did, the same way that his daddy Bush did, the same way that most conservatives do. But Donald Trump throws him a curve. They don't know how to deal with that. He doesn't go away. He doesn't take their crap. And the American public is starting to do the same thing back. They're looking at this guy and saying, hey, you know what? I've been pushed around for far too long, and now I'm going to push back. You know, the muggers in New York City found that out when they killed Paul Kersey's wife in the original Death Wish. They found out what happens when just one man goes on a mission to do something right. And folks, I think you're going to start to see more and more people. It's going to start out in single events, then it will be dozens, then it will be hundreds, then it will become thousands, and then it will become commonplace to see us start pushing back against them. Got to take a short break. I'll be back on the other side. George and I have been working on my theme song, Hear the Streets of Desolation. Have completely remixed the whole thing. I got some emails from several of you with some suggestions, and I think you're going to like the result.
30 years from now, my kids will be outnumbered. Are you going to let that happen? Don't leave the mess for your children to clean up. Join the struggle. Start here at KKK Radio.
From electric outages to the zombie apocalypse, get your survival tips from Prepper Bob. He's the world's biggest Boy Scout, and he's only right here. Only on the Prepper Bob Show, and only on KKKRadio.com. That's the Prepper Bob Show. Check your local listings at KKKRadio.com. And remember to always be prepared.
Gay Pride Days, school assemblies, posters on the wall. It's in our face every day. What's a white Christian teen to do? And does anyone really care? Listen each week to White Youth Focus, where teens discuss the propaganda war against them. Moderated by caring and thoughtful white Christian activists, Billy and Charity. Because it's okay to be white and proud. Minorities, homosexuals, and women. I'm not a hater, but I hate that line.
Me too. You know, you see it written like that in the media.
Yes, I've noticed that. Why do you think that is? I don't have anything in common with so-called minorities.
Minorities, right. White people are the world's minority.
That's true.
I think they like to group all women together so white women won't consider their race. If they don't consider their white identity, they won't recognize the threats against it.
That's a really good point.
So, whenever I hear the phrase, minorities and women, or minorities, homosexuals and women, I'll call it what it is, cheap shots against white women.
This message brought to you by the White Women's Perspective.
Hey folks, Tommy Freedom here for Freedom Rings. I invite you to tune in every week and listen to my show, Freedom Rings, and hear what I, Tommy Freedom, have to say. It's usually pretty interesting and quite informative. It may have something to do with freedom. It may have something to do with liberty. It may be downright funny, but it will always be informative. So be sure and tune in each week to listen to me, Tommy Freedom, here on my show at Freedom Rings, broadcasting to you loud and clear on KKK Radio. Several of you have emailed regarding the remix of Streets of Desolation that I play at the end of each show. And just go back and explain that a little bit. It's something that I cut back in I want to say 1989, 1990, somewhere around in there, a long time ago. It's a bass guitar, it's a rhythm guitar, and those coyotes that you hear howl in the background, I actually was playing a handsaw and ran that through a mic and through a distortion pedal to get that crazy sounding coyotes in the background. And then a couple of weeks ago, George decided to add some background to it, and he found this really creepy foghorn sound, and it gave some filler to it. But somebody by the name of Pete suggested that it was a little overpowering, and I went back and I listened to it, and he's right. It's okay at the beginning, but then throughout the body of the song, it was a little bit too much. And he also suggested that I add something else to it. So it got me to thinking. You know, years ago, I don't know how they teach music in school now, but when I was a kid, we had a really, really good music teacher, and she would actually teach us the history of music. And what a lot of people don't know is that your classical pieces, a lot of them actually tell a story. As you sit there and listen to the piece of music, you envision this entire story. Probably the most common song that you may have heard that has a story like this is called The Hall of the Mountain King. Now, if you're a fan of the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, you are familiar with a version of this. I think it's called The Mountain or something like that. But it starts out, dun 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 dun. Now you know exactly what the piece of music is. Well, this piece of music was a story about a boy named Pierre who ventured in through the caves to the center of the mountain and found himself in the hall of the Mountain King. And the opening of that, the dun 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 dun, is him creeping along very cautiously going through the caves. And then you hear the piece of music change as he gets into the hall. It opens up. And then all of a sudden he's spotted by the goblins. And that is where the piece of music changes abruptly and becomes very upbeat. He begins to flee. And towards the end of the song you hear dun 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 dun. And that is Pierre stopping and bending over to pick up rocks and throw them at the goblins as he is being pursued. He gets out of the cave, does something, I don't remember, it's been 40 years ago since I heard the story, and the big cacophony of the kettle drums at the end is a landslide coming down, sealing up the cave, sealing the goblins inside forever, and Pierre becomes a hero. That is how music used to be written. So when I got this particular email from Pete, I said, maybe, because the original song, Streets of Desolation, you were supposed to envision yourself in an abandoned town in the future or after a disaster or something, and envisioning the tumbleweeds and listening to the coyotes and that sort of a thing. So I got to thinking, what could I add in there to make this a little bit more ghostly? So the piece has been renamed to Desolation Canyon. It's got rattlesnakes, it's got a red-tailed hawk in there, jet fire screaming overhead at the end. I think it's really cool, and I'm going to play it for you. I'm not going to play it in its entirety. I'm going to play the opening now, and then as the show ends, it will fade into that, and then you can hear the rest. That way, it's not coming out in one continuous piece. But here is how it opens. So that is now the way that the song starts. This remix, again, has been named Desolation Canyon. And the whole idea, if you close your eyes and listen to it, well, you don't have to because it's on the radio, but if you just listen to this piece of music, you can very easily envision yourself wandering somewhere around the canyonlands of Utah, or maybe somewhere outside of Death Valley, because at the end, you get jet fighters screaming overhead. You know, maybe it's coming from China Lake, or maybe you're out somewhere near Area 51. And this is the story now that you envision, being somewhere in a canyon and hearing the coyotes, hearing the rattlesnake and the wind blowing up through the canyons. So I have now written this with a story behind it. It's an instrumental that leaves you to envision and create the story in your own mind as you listen to it. Something that hasn't been done for a couple hundred years, as far as I know. Nowadays, if they want a story to go along with a song, they make a music video, and then you understand exactly what's going on. This one here leaves it up to you to decide what the story is inside of your mind as you hear it. So I just wanted to share that with you. Thanks again, Pete, for the suggestion. I really like this cut, and everybody that I've played it for really likes it. So as I fade out here, you'll be able to hear the rest of it, and then the end, and let's get your feedback on that, too. Let me know what you think. Also, if you get an image in your mind about the story that could be behind it that's a little bit different from mine, love to hear back from you on that as well. Yeah, that's how creative minds think, folks. That's what brainstorming is all about. Somebody comes up with an idea, and then a bunch of people sit down, and they think about it, and they discuss it, and come up with a completely new idea. Again, I would not have thought about this had I not gotten that email. So thanks again for that idea. As you notice, I did narrow the volume down on the foghorn in the background, left it high volume at the beginning and the end, but brought it down through the body of the song so it's not as overpowering as it had been. So I'm about running out of time here, folks. Got a couple minutes left. Is it? You think of anything, George? That's like maybe 2 minutes long? Oh, yeah, you're right. George just reminded me that this song is long enough now. I am at the point where I can go ahead and sign off on the closing credits. So until next week, my friends, this has been Tommy Freedom for Freedom Rings. If you would like to get in touch with me, you may do so at TommyFreedomRings@yahoo.com. Until next week, my friends, you take care. Out for now. Hey, this has a good fade in too. I don't even need to worry about adjusting the volume if I hit it right.